I'm Noah, and this is the United States Constitution. So let's get a really good introduction to the Bill of Rights. There were Federalists and there were Anti-Federalists. Federalists wanted a strong national centralized government, and the Anti-Federalists were anti that. They preferred state governments, localized, closer to the people, because remember, their previous national government was awful. In order to appease both sides, they came to a compromise, and this compromise is the Bill of Rights. It ensures the rights of the citizens and that the government will not infringe upon them. This was the main concern with having a strong national government, was that the national government would infringe on the rights of the citizens, as they had already seen happen in England. So let's jump right into the preamble. The conventions of a number of the states, having at the time of their adopting this constitution, expressed desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. Kind of what we just said. And as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. This states that the purpose of the Bill of Rights is to prevent misconstruction and abuse of power. The Bill of Rights prevents these things, and as we talked about earlier, this was a big concern with the Anti-Federalists, who wanted to have small, localized, closer to the people governments. Resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America, and Congress assembled, two-thirds of both houses concurring, that the following articles be proposed to the legislatures of the several states, as amendments to the Constitution of the United States, all or any of which articles, when ratified by three-fourths of the said legislatures, to be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the said Constitution. The states of the two-thirds of the Congress proposes this bill to the states. Articles in addition to an amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America proposed by Congress and ratified by the legislatures of the several states pursuant to the fifth article of the original Constitution. This lists why the states are, and these amendments are legal. Article 5, remember we talked about that it took what it takes to amend the Constitution, and this is just quoting that and saying we can do this, we can add these things because we've already written in Article 5. Amendment 1. This is so important. This is the basis of our country. And it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There can be no national religion. This was huge in England, as they had the Church of England, and people wanted to escape that, as they had religious persecution there. They couldn't worship the way they wanted to worship. So this is a huge basis of our country. Next is the freedom of speech, press, protest, and petition. These things are so important to us as Americans. They ensure that we're allowed to keep our government in check. So we have the three branches that we talked about with checks and balances, impeachment, appointing, vetoes, stuff like that. They have those checks and balances in themselves, but also we have checks and balances as citizens on the federal government, and that is freedom of speech, press, petition, and protest. Amendment 2. This protects against the government. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The people have a right to protect themselves against a government that infringes. So to keep and bear arms is safety, and another check and balance on the federal government. So let's say the government was going to overstep, was going to go take the freedom of speech away. for instance. Let's say they wanted to say that you can't say bad things about the president, which in America we're totally allowed to do that. Let's say they wanted to take that away. That's infringing on our rights as citizens of the United States. And so to protect those rights, we have the Second Amendment, which is a means by which to protect those rights. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. This seems kind of outdated, but it gives us a glimpse into what the Founding Fathers were more afraid of, I guess we could say. During the American Revolutionary War, soldiers were being quartered, meaning that they were living in colonists' houses. They were having to make food for them, take care of them, wash uniforms. Basically, the colonists were having to take care of these soldiers and quarter them in their house. And this was especially awful during the Revolutionary War. Who would want to quarter a soldier in their house of an enemy, right? That just doesn't make any sense. So Amendment 3 protects against that in times of peace. And it says that without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war. So no soldier can ever be having to be forced upon a citizen without consent of the owner, war or peace. Amendment 4 talks about privacy, and this is one that is so important, especially to us in the 21st century as Americans. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly described the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So important, especially in this day and age of technology and information. Google constantly is breaking this, even though this amendment doesn't apply really to Google. But the federal government used to, they may still do it, we don't really know. We never really know for sure, I guess. But definitely in the 2000s, the government was piggybacking off of Google and Facebook, these huge technology companies that were storing data of the American people. And the government was essentially spying on its own citizens. And this was a huge thing. It was called the Patriot Act. There's still some forms of it that are still in law today. But it was huge. You have a right to privacy in yourself, in your house, your information, in your entire state of being. You have a right to privacy in and of yourself and whatever, you know, affects your daily life. So, for instance, if this happens so much, I don't have Facebook. Facebook is just awful. But if Facebook were, I've seen this before, is you're searching something on Google, searching for something, and maybe you click on an ad or something, and then later on in the day, you see 10 more ads for one thing that you searched for. And this is huge, especially recently with Alexa, Amazon's Alexa, where you are talking in the house, and Amazon even admitted to listening in on conversations. Amazon's Alexa was listening to conversations, and that information gets shared with Google, Facebook, Amazon, all these things. And because a lot of websites run on Amazon's web services, that's all shared back and forth, and Amazon can cater ads specifically to you. So, for instance, I'll give you a really good example. Is there was a couple that was talking about getting dog food, and they were in their kitchen, and Alexa's in their kitchen. And they were talking, oh, we're out of dog food. They get online, get into Facebook. Dog food ad pops up on the side of the screen. And people think that's weird, and it is. They don't really expect that, and they shouldn't expect that, because that's a breach of privacy. But when we sign terms and conditions of things, we don't really read them, and they can sneak stuff in on us. But the most important thing here is that the federal government was piggybacking off of these technology companies that we agreed to terms and conditions for, but the federal government piggybacking off of these technology industries wasn't in our in terms and conditions, because otherwise some lawyer would have caught it who actually reads those things, and nobody ever saw it and it wasn't there. So the federal government was spying on the people illegally, and this is a total breach of the Fourth Amendment. Anyways, moving on. The Fifth Amendment: no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled to any crime case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So, let's get into this one. You cannot be held unjustly. So, if someone, we see this on YouTube a lot, people taking videos of police officers and am I being detained? What am I being detained for? You have a right to know what you're being detained for. Except in cases of land or naval forces or in the militia, whatever. You have the right to know what the police officer is detaining you for. Now, am I saying that you should, you know, badger a police officer and you're supposed to do this? I'm not having any opinion on this. But you do have a right, as an American citizen, you have a right to know what you're being detained for. Grand juries. Let's talk about this one. You can't be held in double jeopardy, so you can't be tried twice for the same crime. For instance, if you were to go to court and you were being charged, let's say you're being charged with murder. This is a big one. If you're being charged with murder, O.J. Simpson, this is a huge one. O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder. He cannot be tried for that murder ever again. Ever. Period. That's double jeopardy. He doesn't have to be tried for that ever again. He cannot be tried for that. O.J. Simpson does not have to be a witness against him or himself. No American citizen can be or has to be a witness against him or herself. It's totally up to that person. That's called pleading the Fifth. This is the Fifth Amendment. Pleading the Fifth means that you can remain silent. You have the right to remain silent. Juries, government, whoever it is, cannot take life, liberty, or property from you without due process, without, you know, going through a trial in your state, in whatever it is. They cannot take your life, liberty, or property without due process. Now, this kind of sneaks in on the end here. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. This is eminent domain. And a great example of this one is Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium used eminent domain to take a lot of land in the heart of Arlington, Texas, and turn it into the Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium. Those houses that were on that in that you know area where that were taken that were you know raised and put a stadium on it were paid the market price for those houses. Now, the government, if they want to put a fort somewhere, they are forced to pay you market value for your house, for your property, for your land. They're forced to. They can't just seize it and be like, this is ours now. They have to pay you. That's under the Fifth Amendment. The Sixth Amendment is the rights of the accused. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with a witness against them, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. You have the right, as an American citizen, to a speedy and public trial. Sometimes these things get, they take forever, and the justice system definitely does take a while. It does. But you have the right to where you can't just be sitting waiting for a trial for you know, 15 years. And honestly, some people these days are, and courts are really backed up, and it sucks. But as an American citizen, you know, sure, a court system is backed up. But if court system is not backed up, you have a right to go and have a speedy and public trial. In a state and district where the crime was committed. So we talked about this. Let's say you committed a murder in Tennessee. And Tennessee has a certain death row laws. And you're from Texas, but you committed a crime in Tennessee. And you're going to be tried in the state where you committed the crime. So the murder applies in Tennessee. So whatever death row laws, let's say you go to California. California doesn't have a death penalty. Well, you wouldn't have a death. You wouldn't be killed for your murder if it were to come to that. But if you were from California and you went to Texas that has a death penalty, then you'd get the death penalty because you committed the crime there. You must be told what you're being accused of. So you can't just, the government can't just be like, you're guilty. They can't do that. You have the right to know what you are being accused of, what is being brought against you. And in the spirit of that, you have the right to see the witnesses testifying to that against you. If someone says that you did the murder, you can cross-examine that witness and, you know, see maybe they're not reliable, maybe their source is wrong, maybe they're, you know, committing perjury, whatever it is. Perjury is lying under oath. But maybe they're committing perjury, whatever it is, you have the right to cross-examine that witness that's being brought against you. You have the right to call your own witnesses in your favor. You could call witnesses that aren't in your favor, but that'd just be dumb. But you have the right, just like a prosecutor has the right to call witnesses, you have the right to call witnesses for your side too. You have the right to an attorney. See, we have public defenders, where if someone cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to them, assigned to them, and those are called public defenders. You don't have to pay for that. You just have the right to it. You don't have to pay. You know, you can get a great, a lot of times public defenders aren't the best. Awesome, great civil servants for sure. But if you have the money to afford an attorney, go get an attorney with that money. If you have committed a crime, get a lawyer. Get someone that knows the law and knows how to work the court system. You don't want to get a public defender if you can afford someone who is better, who may know more, whatever it is. You want an attorney in any case. Seventh Amendment. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. It's pretty self-explanatory. Any case that, you know, what you're suing for is more than $20, it's going to be trial by jury. And quite frankly, nobody sues for $20 in America. This is 200, almost, you know, very, you know, over 200 years later, people are not suing for a crisp Andrew Jackson $20 bill. It's just not happening. But anything more than that, you're going to have a trial by jury. Amendment 8. This is a huge one. No cruel or unusual punishment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. This one is very much open to interpretation. You know, let's say you certainly can't, you know, get a speeding ticket and be put to death for it. You certainly, I mean, that's cruel and unusual punishment. You can't, you know, you can't go jaywalking, serve 15 years in prison. It's cruel punishment. But also, if you're jaywalking or you get a speeding ticket, they can't make you jump off a bridge, because that's just unusual. That's not the way that works. You have the right to not have to, excessive bail is pretty big too. You can't, because you were held in contempt in court, they can't put bail at $200,000, that's just a cruel punishment. It's excessive fines, excessive bail. Let's see, Amendment 9. This is the unwritten rights amendment. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. This is super important, and a lot of Supreme Court cases have been decided based on this amendment. So Amendment 9 just basically says times are going to change. We're gonna have different things in the future, different ideas in the future. This Constitution is not perfect as is, and clearly it's not perfect as is because there's 17 other amendments coming after this, after the Bill of Rights. But this Constitution ebbs and flows with time, and this Amendment 9 really represents that, because we see that anything not written in this Constitution doesn't mean that it just doesn't exist. Just means it's not written. It just means they didn't think of it. They didn't think it was going to happen. The founding fathers didn't invent iPhones. They didn't think about Google. They didn't think about computers. Nobody had that on their minds at all. Nobody ever possibly imagined the age of technology that we live in today. So in today's world, there are rights that we have that may not be listed in the Constitution, and probably aren't, but it's doesn't mean that they don't exist. Amendment 10, states' rights. This is the one to end it all off, and this is the point of the Bill of Rights. We talked about at the beginning, anti-federalists and federalists. Anti-federalists wanted stronger state governments and still have a national government, but definitely wanted a stronger state government. This was to satisfy them. Amendment 10 says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Amendment 9 and Amendment 10 kind of go hand in hand in the sense that if it is not listed in the Constitution, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Sure. But the things that aren't listed in the Constitution, that's for the states to decide. A great example of this is marijuana. For example, marijuana is nowhere in the Constitution, period. It's just not. Colorado legalized marijuana. This is the laboratory of democracy thing. Legalized marijuana because it has the 10th Amendment right to do so, period. Other states followed suit. Washington, Arizona, California, all these, D.C., all these places legalized marijuana because they have the right to do so. They exercise their 10th Amendment rights. They can do that, totally do that. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time for Amendments 11 through 16.